Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Friends, welcome friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing we all share in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy world? So welcome to the 526th edition of SDG, and this is 2021's Crisis Update number 39. And then later in this message, folks, after we hear all the forbidden news that the lying hacks in the establishment will never tell you, we're going to tie it all into how you and me and all believers can become what the Bible calls overcomers in this world full of lies. You know, the Bible tells us in the first letter John wrote, chapter 4, verse 4, that you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Those are the liars in this world, because he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. And then over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, he says, who is the one who overcomes the world? Well, it's he who believes in Jesus as the Son of God. So praise the Lord and stay tuned as we learn how to be overcomers and defeat Satan and his minion in their lives. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this all-out Luciferian war on humanity and stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into 9/11 events. And I'm talking about America's new 9/11 events, which in this time, or this case, are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as always, folks, let's start with a review of something from a past episode. Now, you know, last week or several weeks ago, we covered the fact that that ivermectin hit piece that the Rolling Stones and the mainstream media with Mad Dog, Maddow, and MSNBC came out with, you know, the ivermectin hit piece about the hospital in Oklahoma being overwhelmed with ivermectin overdoses. All lies, folks, all lies. But hold on, folks, there's more. There's more to this story. Did you know that? So came out this week that this whole horse dewormer meme was actually not started by the media, but it was started by the FDA.
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul, it's true. The FDA. The Food and Drug Administration actually started this whopper of a lie. It came out this week. Rescue.substack.com. Horse bleep howl, four calls on animal. That's the hyperlink if you want to find it. But basically what happened is this hokey tweet came out on August 21st where the FDA told Americans the obvious, as the FDA folks, the Food and Drug Administration, tweeted the following, and I quote, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all stop it." Now, everyone knew what the it was. The it was the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And that 800-pound gorilla is ivermectin. It was working, or it is working, all over the world. Japan used it after the Olympics, virtually eliminating COVID-19 from their entire country. One entire province, which is like a state in the nation India, couldn't get any of the conventional meds, so they gave these packets that had ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and they basically wiped COVID-19 out of their entire province. So everyone knows what the it was. It's the wonder drug ivermectin that people have been using off-label for COVID-19. But the FDA says don't. And you got to ask why. Yet in just 2 days, over 23.7 million people saw this FDA tweet. And millions of others heard it from the bashing posts and memes that were on Facebook, LinkedIn, and even the Today Show with their 3 million viewers had people seeing it on their Instagram account. And then the Queen of Lies herself, the FDA acting commissioner, Janet Woodcock. And boy, I'm telling you, folks, if you ever want to meet a liar, a daughter of the chief of lies himself, look at Woodcock. So she said in an email that came out through a FOIA request, "This is great. Even I saw it." And she's referring to this, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Serious, y'all. Stop it." She's talking about that post. And then another senior FDA official emailed her back and said, "For the FDA, the not a horse tweet was a unique viral moment in a time of incredible misinformation." Yeah, they're passing on this information. And here's the big lie. What they're telling you is the lie. This tweet from the FDA concerning ivermectin being a horse dewormer is a bald-faced lie, folks. But the story goes on and gets much deeper. And you can see the complicity of the lie in mainstream media with this whole ivermectin narrative. They're lying, folks. And the reason they have to do this is if it's admitted that there is a treatment that works, then you can't have emergency use authorization. And guess what? Every single vaccine, including the Pfizer, goes away because the Pfizer drug has not been FDA approved. It's their companion company from Germany. And the Comirnaty vaccine, which no one can get. So, folks, if you're being forced by your employer or by the military or by whoever to take this jab, why don't you try this tack? Ask them if you can have the FDA approved. Make sure you have your paperwork with you. Make sure you have the letters from the FDA. And if you need those, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you copies. But it's very clear in the FDA letter that there's a legal distinction between the Pfizer jab and the Comirnaty jab. And you cannot force an emergency use drug on anyone. And that's the law, folks. So I'd like to see how they untangle that mess. But I encourage you to read this article. It's over on substack.com. And just look into it. You know, folks, it reminds me of what the prophet Isaiah said. Truth has fallen in the streets. You know, today, up is down, right is wrong. And not all those who give birth and nurse babies are women. Really? Do you believe this stuff? And white people must pay reparations to descendants of slaves. Folks, I didn't keep any slaves. I didn't do it. How about all those Kenyan people that delivered the slaves to the coasts? So are we going to distinguish the descendants of the Kenyans from the other oppressed blacks? I'm not minimizing slavery, folks, but what I'm saying is this is crazy. And then we have concerned parents being deemed terrorist threats by the FBI. Oh, did you hear there was an apology out this week by the National School Board Association for that? And then we have this president or this imposter in chief telling the American public that there's no plan to stop Islamic terrorism. You know, white people riot and protest in Portland and destroy cities and entire city blocks and just, I mean, you know, the fires that we saw last summer and into the fall before the election, and people on the newscast teams were saying, well, it's mostly peaceful. So they can destroy these cities, burn down buildings in the name of black people, and it's okay. And if you call it a riot, you're a racist. But white people get together in Washington, D.C., on January 6th and peacefully protest and peacefully enter the Capitol. Yeah, there were a couple provocateurs in there and they broke windows. And that's deemed to be an insurrection worthy of a congressional committee, star chamber investigations, imprisonments, and flying in the face of these imprisonments are flying in the face of habeas corpus. These imprisonments are not being followed by a swift and judicious trial. These people are sitting in prison. What happened to rule of law, folks? Our history and our culture, they're being scrubbed. You know, right now, if you fly the American flag outside your home, you're considered to be a purveyor of hate, because that flag is viewed as a symbol of hate. Folks, did you know that there was a defector from North Korea who dreamed of coming to the U.S. and being educated at an Ivy League school? So she did, and she worked very hard, and she got here. And then you know what her comment was? This system here in the United States reminds her of what she left in North Korea. Folks, North Korea is one of, if not the most dystopian society in the world, and this defector from North Korea, after spending a little time here in the United States, said it reminds her of North Korea. Now, folks, whether you believe this or not, we are all victims of a mass-scale medical and psychological experiment, and there are actually now released documents from the military, and I'm going to try to cover those next week, which prove that this is actually a war, a non-conventional war being waged upon we the people to demoralize us, to destabilize us, and to basically take us over without firing a shot. You know what I heard this week? My office manager, Mary, her son-in-law has just been deployed. He's a Marine Reserve. These men are trained fighters, folks. And you know what he's going to be doing? He's driving a bus from Arizona to New Jersey with our guests from Afghanistan. And if he refers to these people as refugees, he will be disciplined, formally disciplined by the military. So what he has to do now until February 6th is be a bus driver. Folks, this is a war fighter. This is a soldier. And he's been relegated to driving a bus. Think about the ramifications of this type of treatment. He was a steel worker with a very high-paying job, lots of overtime. He's now been deployed, so he's activated. And his wife and him totaled all the benefits these guests are receiving. And guess this, get this, folks. When you total all of the monthly benefits from the allowance they're being given to the apartment, to the food, to the education, they are taking home more per month than he is as a Marine reservist. This is crazy, folks. Absolutely crazy. But that's enough on that. I have to keep moving right now. So early on in the week, I think it was Tuesday, early Tuesday morning, I get this email from Sister Kathy. And in it she wrote, "Now, I forgot to mention last week the death of our brother in Christ, Rob Skiba." Now, Rob Skiba, Kathy and I were friends, professional associates, so to speak. Kathy scheduled him for several shows back when I did the show with John, Tribulation Now, and Kathy was our producer. So we knew Rob. Rob and I emailed, Kathy and Rob emailed, and he was our brother in Christ, and he's dead. Just like Russ Dizdar. Remember a few weeks ago, we covered his book, Black Awakening? Well, Gonzo retweeted Rob's obituary, and Gonzo at Canary Cry is also a friend, and there were a lot of good replies, and there was a lot of information you could glean out of those replies. For example, one commenter said Steve Quell was on Dave Hodges' show and stated that they, including Steve Quell, were on this hit list. You know, Steve Quell was very ill. He was just interviewed by Mike Adams. And this is the targeted attack of the alt-media voices that are out there. So Quell was hospitalized. His C-reactive protein was off the charts at 500. And he was taking the prophylactic ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. He was dosed up on all the good things like zinc and vitamin D. These are targeted bioweapons, folks. Oh, Celeste Solom, she was also ill at home on oxygen. And Paul Martin died. These are all happening right now, folks. First Rob, then Russ. Folks, I'm telling you, to me, this sounds planned. This follows along with what Mike Adams and Del Bigtree both reported several weeks ago. Remember we talked about this? These strange illnesses striking the attendees of these health freedom events. And then we had that leaked DARPA document. Remember we talked about that? That research group does some really good deep dive research. Talked about the use of aerosolized skin penetrating nanoparticles with these spike proteins that are being released at these events. Remember I did a segment on this a while back on episode number crisis update 35. It was SDG 522. You can go onto my page on Blog Talk and just scroll down to episode 522 and listen to that one. I covered all this in great detail. And do you all remember what's the root behind all of this evil we've been talking about? Do you remember what it is, folks? It's the love of money. And remember that, folks. It's the love of money. It's not money in and of itself that's evil. It's the love of money. And it's not a root of some evils. It's the root of all evil. And it has been mistranslated by many of the modern translations. So, you know, over the past 6 weeks, we've been covering this classic by Stephen Jacobson. So before we get into our freaky deaky news update, what I'd like to do is continue with another roughly 4.5 minute clip. This will be the seventh in this series we're doing on Stephen Jacobson. And I'm just going to pick up and listen to what he has to say about the truth concerning money.
When the U.S. government needs to borrow money, the Treasury creates a bond, which is a fancy word for an IOU, and promises to pay a specified amount of money at a specified interest on a specified date. This bond is evidence of debt, just as an IOU is evidence of debt. This interest-bearing debt is the foundation for this nation's money supply, and its payment is guaranteed by the collateral of all property and income of all U.S. citizens. The Federal Reserve buys this debt simply by making a bookkeeping entry for the amount and writing a check against no funds, and then converts it into paper currency and checkbook money. The U.S. Bureau of Engraving prints the paper currency in whatever denominations ordered by the Federal Reserve and charges about 2 cents for each note, regardless of the denomination, which the Federal Reserve pays for by making another bookkeeping entry and writing another bad check. In effect, the Federal Reserve lends the U.S. government its own credit, our credit, and then charges interest on it. Every dollar created by the Federal Reserve system is debt for the citizens of the United States, which the central bank collects interest on, in addition to the interest from the bond created by the Treasury that put this magic money-making machine in motion. And it gets worse. The Federal Reserve inflates the amount of the bond in order to make even more loans of imaginary dollars and collect more interest on an investment that costs nothing. Under fractional reserve banking, the amount of money a bank can create is limited by the reserve ratio, or fraction, that it is required to maintain. For example, when the reserve ratio is 10 to 1, a bank can create and loan $10 for each dollar held in reserve and charge interest on it. While the reserves of the goldsmith were gold, the reserves of the Federal Reserve is paper. Nothing more than bookkeeping entries that are a record of debt. The absurdity of the situation is that if there were no debts, there would be no money, since every dollar of paper currency and checkbook money is loaned into circulation. And in order to pay the interest, there has to be another loan, because the banking system only creates the principal and not the interest. In fact, the interest can never be paid, because it is not possible to return to the bank more dollars than were created, making it inevitable that the Federal Reserve banking system acquire title to all wealth in the nation. This is exactly what the framers of the Constitution intended to prevent when they stipulated a monetary system of gold and silver coin and prohibited the government from issuing paper money. because a nation that uses money based on debt can never be free of debt.
Paper money, paper money. It's a federal trick without a treat. It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet.
And that's the truth, folks. The raw, unvarnished truth. But now we have to move on, and it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, we start with the coronavirus heist.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, bottle, pandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and minds control. Coronavirus, COVID-19, black on it, pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either, you or...
Okay, that's enough of that. Hey, folks, so a year and a half ago, it all started with this, if we just stay home for 15 days, we're going to flatten the curve. Do you remember that? 15 days, stay at home, flatten the curve. 15 days became weeks, and those weeks became months, and that months became a year. Do you all remember that? And now it's become, as soon as you get your booster shot, it'll all go back to normal. Don't even get me started on these mandates now, but we'll cover that a little bit more. First, we had the mask mandates, and now the vax mandates. So what exactly is a mandate? Well, you learned here months ago that that's when Pennsylvania Governor Wolf used to go out with his transsexual secretary of health. Remember her or it, Rachel Levine? Well, that's a mandate. Okay, all joking aside. But as an aside, did you hear that this shemale, Rachel Levine, is now a 4-star admiral?
Gosh. Holy. Gosh.
Now, yeah, Gomer, I know it's absurd, but it's true. And all this talk about mandates, I decided to, and I talked about this briefly on a past show, but I decided to dig up legally what a mandate is. Now, have you ever stopped and thought about that? Well, here's exactly what a mandate is, according to case law. And mandates aren't what most people think they are. Again, more lies and more fraud. So this is from the Bouvier Law Dictionary, and this was the 6th edition. And you got to get some of these old ones, folks. This one is from 1856, and I have a copy sitting on my shelf along with an old 5th edition of Black's Law Dictionary. But in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, a mandate is under civil law and were the instructions which the emperor addressed to public functionaries, which were to serve as rules for their conduct. These mandates resembled those of proconsuls, the mandata jurisdictio, and were ordinarily binding to the legates or lieutenants of the emperor of the imperial provinces, and there they had the authority of the principal edicts. So first of all, when your head of state's doing it, he has to have the position of an emperor, which ours doesn't. This fraud in chief Biden is a chief executive. So let's look at what a mandate would be under a constitutional republic like we are. Well, a mandate is a practice or a judicial command, a precept issued not by the executive, but by the court or by a magistrate. And its purpose is to direct a law enforcement officer, which is under the executive branch, to enforce a judgment, a sentence, or a decree. And you can read about this in Jones versus Balaam 52, story on Balaam 137. So the very legal definition of a mandate in a constitutional republic requires three things to actually create a lawful mandate. None of that's happening with anything from these VASC mandates back to the old mask mandates. First, you have to have something existing that should be the matter of the contract, okay? And then it has to be acted upon judicially. And then secondly, it should be done gratuitously. And thirdly, the party should voluntarily intend to enter into this contract. And this is, again, in case law. But just look all around you right now, folks, and ask yourself if this is happening. These courts refuse to protect our basic civil liberties, and the government is unresponsive to the demands of the people right now. So what we have is lawlessness. Lawlessness abounds, folks. And at this point, in any society, there's only two options: surrender and comply, or mount a massive civil peaceful protest. Civil disobedience. That's what we need to do, folks. We need to take a lesson from Gandhi, like I've been saying for months now, and we need to stand up collectively and say no. Now, you don't even have to be a majority to refuse compliance. One lone voice in the midst of all these lies, speaking truth, has more power than anybody can even fathom. You know, the antidote to tyranny is truth, folks. And any significant minority will create a situation where it's simply not feasible for the tyrants to continue. Remember, we outnumber them. Orders of magnitude to one, folks. Just look at what happened when Southwest Air pilots stood up and did a sick out. It forced Southwest to drop the vax mandate. Folks, if businesses lose revenue and enough of their workforce, they will stop volunteering. I'm telling you, to enforce these draconian measures and become stooges of the state with these unlawful and oppressive mandates. So I encourage you, folks, to stand up peacefully, respectfully, as a citizen, not as a subject, and say no. Now, don't use force. Don't get violent. That's what they want. Do it peacefully. Say no. And when you do that, there's a power wielded from the heavenlies, and I don't know how it works. I'm just telling you, you are exercising your kingdom authority as a child of the Most High God. Remember, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, functioning as the Spirit of adoption, brought you into that family. And when you came into that family, you began to participate as a divine member of the kingdom of God. And you have kingdom authority, folks, so use it. Hey, did you hear this UK report proving that immune systems are failing at a rate of 5% per week with the people that have taken the vaccine? I have this report here, and I have to see if I can dig it up. I was rambling there, and I wasn't paying attention. So this was on InfoWars, I believe. Let me see. There we have it. So it's a government report. And it's fairly undeniable now, but listen to this 4-minute and 20-second clip, pretty much proving that this is a bioweapon. And when you listen to the director of the lab, I just forgot his name, Burke, Dr. Burke or Baring or something like that, he's a pro-vaxxer, and he's actually the one telling you what's happening here. And he's actually gleeful that people are going to have to come back and line up for these jabs because they have no immune system. But listen to this.
Having the data from millions of cases over several weeks, nearly a third of all COVID cases in the UK, the data is clear. The so-called COVID vaccines are slowly killing people. The latest vaccine surveillance reports published by Public Health England show what we've already been hearing from doctors worldwide. The mRNA jabs are destroying people's immune systems, and it seems to be happening gradually over time, especially for the doubly vaccinated between 40 and 70 years old. They have already lost over 40% of their immune system capability and are losing an additional 5% every week. At this rate, by Christmas, we will have 0% immune system capability in all doubly vaccinated people over 40. And by March, everyone over 30 will have lost their immune systems as well. Over time, it appears that those age 30 and younger are also seeing a degradation of their immune systems. It's normal for this age group to have a more vigorous immune system, so perhaps it does a better job fighting off the debilitating mRNA jabs at first. Time will tell, but the data shows a very difficult and dark winter lies ahead. And we've heard this before. Dr. Ryan Cole, a pathologist who has conducted over 100,000 COVID-19 lab tests, has also found that the mRNA shots are causing serious autoimmune disorders. And Dr. David Bauer, one of the top virologists running this so-called vaccine program in the UK, confirms all of this.
We found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies, which blocks the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be, and the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be.
And actually says that having a regular booster shot will be some kind of remedy.
So that's telling us that we're probably going to be needing to prioritize boosters for older and more vulnerable people.
Like a monthly subscription service to stay alive. Let us not forget how all of this was started by the communist Chinese, how they already recovered from COVID and are now flaunting military power, threatening the borders of Taiwan and India. In the book Unrestricted Warfare, published in America 20 years ago, officers of the communist Chinese military recognize that it's impossible to challenge the U.S. in a conventional military arena and explain how the only way to conquer America would be through deception so that the public never knew they were under attack. They described how they could accomplish this by flooding the U.S. with illicit drugs to demoralize us, infiltrating and subverting the stock markets, the judicial system, and the media, seizing control of vital natural resources, and creating a fake natural disaster using biological weapons. And finally, take down the entire electrical information grid to cause social panic, street riots, and a political crisis. With over a third of the population suffering from complete immune failure, taking down the grid this winter would be devastating. Now is the time to brace yourself for what's coming. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
So there was a lot of information in there, folks. A lot of information. And I encourage you to go out there and get the book, Unrestricted Warfare, the book written by the Chinese Communist Party, which basically lays out their plan to subvert the United States of America, and to take the dominant position in the world. And that's underway right now, folks. But we have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for our Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. Theater in Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slant or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So how often have you heard the liberals cry, separation of church and state? You know, when the coaches wanted to pray at the football game, separation of church and state, when some of the big evangelical churches would promote a conservative candidate or maybe speak out on pro-life.
Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state.
How often have we heard that? Well, quite often, folks. We know that's the case. And then what do we have going on here this week? Did you hear? Kamala Harris. Heels in the air Harris. She's at all these black churches by video, and I'm looking for the clip here. Come on, where's the clip? Just had it up here. I lost it. Harris. I've got so many clips on Harris. Harris on... Oh, folks, while I'm looking for it, do you remember this one where Imposter Chief Biden referred to her? This is Harris as being as smart as the devil.
He is smart as a devil. He is smart as a devil. He is smart as a devil.
She's smart as the devil. And you know what? Maybe she is, because she's got that demon laugh.
Stage blessed.
Yeah.
Stage blessed.
Yeah. Well, actually.
But what I'm looking for right now is Harris's little vote ploy. And boy, this never happens. I guess we're not going to be able to play it. Don't waste time here. But what Harris did is she recorded a video, and it's been played or will be played at over 300 black churches across Virginia, urging the church members to vote for the Democratic candidate, Governor Terry McAuliffe. And right now, McAuliffe's having some trouble with the Republican challenger. He's a businessman, Glenn Youngkin. And it's a dead heat, but of course, you know, they've got their election fraud, so I don't know if that's actually gonna happen or not. And it's sad, but Harris is out there stumping McAuliffe, and I don't have it. Oh, boy, I wanted to play that clip for you folks. I can't believe the... Here it is. Harris calls on church vote for McAuliffe. So it's a 2-minute and 20-second clip. This was played in 300 churches across Virginia, and they threatened conservatives when they pushed the pro-life agenda, when they promoted conservative candidates. Their 501c3 status revoked by the IRS. Listen to Harris. 300 black churches across Virginia. Where's the outcry from the media?
Greetings, everyone. So when I was growing up, we sang in the choir at Oakland's 23rd Avenue Church of God. We sang hymns about how faith combined with determination will see us through difficult times. And we were taught that it was our sacred responsibility to raise our voice and lift up the voices of our community. One of the most significant ways I believe that we can each use our voice is through our vote. So Virginians, you have the opportunity now to raise your voice through your vote, because it's election time. As you know, this is an important election coming up on Tuesday, November 2nd, and early voting is already underway. I believe that my friend Terry McAuliffe is the leader Virginia needs at this moment. Terry McAuliffe has a long track record of getting things done for the people of Virginia. When he was governor, in the wake of the recession, you'll remember, he brought 200,000 jobs to Virginia. Incomes went up and unemployment went down in every city and county in the state. And now, Terry McAuliffe is stepping up again with a clear vision about how to rebuild Virginia's economy for the future. To raise the minimum wage, to make health care more affordable, to give every child a world-class education. Virginians, you deserve a leader who has a vision of what is possible and the experience to realize that vision. Terry McAuliffe is that leader. In 2020, more Virginians voted than ever before, and because you did, you helped send President Joe Biden and me to the White House. This year, I know that you will send Terry McAuliffe back to Richmond. So early voting has already started, and this is the first year that you can vote on Sunday. So please vote after today's service. And if you cannot vote today, make a plan to go vote. Go to iwillvote.com.
Sorry, folks, my mic was off. So remember, folks, vote early and vote often. We are in a total state of lawlessness. Can't see it with this type of thing. If you can't see it with the vote fraud, if you can't see it with the lies. And speaking of lies, the NIH came out yesterday, I believe it was, with correction of the false statements by both Directors Collins and Fauci. And here's the letter. I have the two-page letter right here from the NIH. The NIH did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan. So bottom line, Fauci lied under oath to the Congress. And I have a five-minute clip of Rand Paul questioning Fauci, Fauci becoming belligerent, essentially lying. It's a matter of public record. And the guy needs to be arrested. So here it is.
Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches, these are Dr. Ebright's words, this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
So
what was? Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally resent.
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is not.
You can't get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth.
Senator
you
Paul,
are the one.
Time is expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible to result
in
SARS-CoV-2.
No one's saying those viruses caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Senator Smith.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci. And thanks to all of our panelists for being here today. And thank you, Chair Murray and Ranking Member Burr. I just want to say, Dr. Fauci, is there anything more that you would like to say to counteract these attacks on your integrity that we've all just witnessed?
Well, Senator, thank you. I don't think I have anything further to say. This is a pattern that Senator Paul has been doing now at multiple hearings based on no reality. He keeps talking about gain of function. This has been evaluated multiple times by qualified people to not fall under the gain of function definition. I have not lied before Congress. I have never lied, certainly not before Congress. Case closed.
So there you have it, folks. And I have the NIH document sitting here on my desk right now, actually on my iPad, two pages, which basically says the NIH did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan. Now, in that little exchange there that got rather heated, you did hear the fraud Fauci tell Senator Rand Paul, who is a medical doctor, a surgeon, an ophthalmologist, who doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, basically called Fauci a fraud. Listen to it in Mullis's own words. And we've played this clip before, folks.
What is it about humanity that wants to go to all the details and stuff and listen? You know, these guys like Fauci get up there and start talking. You know, he doesn't know anything really about anything. And I'd say that to his face. Nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on the bottom. You know, those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to. And they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people who pay his salary and lie directly into the camera. You can't expect the sheep to really respect the best and the brightest. They don't know the difference, really. I mean, I like humans, don't get me wrong, but basically there's a vast majority of them do not possess the ability to judge who is and who isn't a really good scientist. I mean, that's a problem. That's a main problem, actually, with science, I'd say, in this century, because science is being judged by people. Funding is being done by people who don't understand it. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough. If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it, because he's been asked. I mean, I've had a lot of people, president of the University of South Carolina, ask Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here that's going to tell me the other side.
But Fauci didn't want to do it.
So there you have it, out of the mouth of a Nobel laureate himself. And you know, Carrie Mullis died right before this whole thing, mysteriously died right before this whole scamdemic was foisted upon us. After event 201 at Johns Hopkins back in the fall of 2019, Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, mysteriously dies. And you heard it right there. Carrie Mullis said that Tony Fauci lies. And Carrie Mullis's history with this man goes all the way back to the AIDS epidemic and Dr. Gallo and the big scandal there. You know, the entire acquired immune deficiency, AIDS, and the HIV virus were not directly linked. Fauci fraudulently linked those two and created this whole AIDS scam that we had. And most of those homosexuals who were getting sick with AIDS were getting sick after they took Fauci's vaccination. But nobody talks about that sort of stuff. You know, Carrie Mullis referred to the average person as sheep. And there are three types of people in this world, folks. There are sheep, there are wolves, and there are sheepdogs. And I'm a sheepdog. What are you? Folks, if you know this truth, and if you're sitting on it, if you're hiding your light under a basket, if you're not using your salt the way salt's supposed to be used to sanitize, to sterilize, and when you use it like that, it stings. If you're not using it, Jesus said it'll be relegated to the dung heap. So what we need to do when we're given information is we're to get on top of the roof and we're to shine that light as bright as we can, folks. Now, I was going to go over this two-page document from the NIH, but then I found just last evening this interview that Rand Paul did on Fox News and basically has been vindicated with regard to this entire issue that's been going on for quite a while now between him and the fraud Fauci. So we have Rand Paul vindicated as he I'm getting so many. Here it is. Rand Paul vindicated regarding his accusations that the fraud Fauci was lying. This is a long clip, but he basically covers, actually the reporter on Fox covers the two-page document. And these two, Rand Paul and this newscaster, will do a much better job than I would covering this NIH document. So here's a seven-minute clip. Please listen to it. It's the truth, folks.
Well, the walls are closing in on Dr. Fauci. A bombshell new report confirms something that we knew all along. He's a fraud who lied before Congress, though, about the funding of gain-of-function research. Senator Rand Paul had confronted him on multiple occasions, and you saw the video. What did Fauci do? Deny, deny, deny.
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute
of Virology. Do they fund Dr. Barrett? Gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
That is not...
You can't get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
It's not obfuscating the truth. You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent
that.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
No, Dr. Fauci, it appears it is you. You are the liar here because now we have solid proof. In a newly released letter, the NIH admits that it funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan, claiming EcoHealth Alliance wasn't transparent about the work taking place. So they shifted the blame to EcoHealth Alliance. So Rand Paul was right. Dr. Fauci was lying. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul joins me now. Senator, thanks for jumping on the show with us tonight. Do you feel vindicated?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, but it's not really about me. It's ultimately about the safety of the country and the world. You know, if 5 million people died from a virus that came out of a lab, wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't we want to try to prevent this from happening again? You know, they've experimented with other viruses that are much more deadly. This virus has been very deadly, but it's got a 1% mortality. What if you had a virus that had a 15%? They're also experimenting with the MERS virus. This is a coronavirus from the early 2000s that had a 50% mortality. And here's what they say. They still to this day are trying to get around the truth. They say, well, it was unexpected that it gained function. Well, how do you know if it's unexpected or not? It's unknown. If you take a virus from a cave, you combine it with a virus that has a 50% mortality, it either is going to be more transmissible or less, but you don't know in advance whether it's going to be worse or better. So when it gains function, that is something that actually is expected. Some of these viruses are going to gain function, and then the possibility of leaking out, I think, is a horrific thing for mankind. But realize that Dr. Fauci's been steadfast in this. He said early on, even back to 2012, that should a scientist catch one of these diseases and spread it as a pandemic, that the collective accumulation of science would be worth the deaths of the people who die. And that's a question
right.
people need to ask him, but nobody on the left will ask him, was it worth 5 million people dying?
Do you think that moment, that clip that we played of that interaction, and you had numerous interactions with Dr. Fauci now with this information, do you think that was perjury? Was he lying to you under oath? Is there anything for you to do now? Is there any accountability, Senator?
It's not only me. Many, many scientists are coming forward who are experts in this area saying, yes, they've been funding gain of function. He's been parsing words. He's been sort of kind of going around the subject, and he never fully explains why it's not gain of function. But I think his explanation is this. Oh, it was inadvertent. We didn't know they were going to gain function. Well, that's what a gain-of-function experiment is. You don't know when you combine two viruses if it'll be more deadly, but it might be. If you have half a brain, you know, if you combine two viruses, it sure might be more deadly. So he knew it was a gain-of-function experiment. He just didn't know the results of the experiment. But if that's the definition he's going to use, we still have all this craziness. You know, they do this in our country.
Right.
We need to try to make sure. So far, no Democrat has been willing to listen to this. I've been asking for an investigation for months. No bipartisan committee has brought this up or decided to tackle this. But, you know, we have scientists, Kevin Esfeldt from MIT. He's one of the great technological discoverers of CRISPR and gene technology for disease. He's not a partisan. He wrote in the Washington Post a week ago that this is a civilization-ending kind of research, that this research could
right.
release something that could destroy civilization. That's coming from a scientist. That should scare us all.
You know, Senator, I know what you're saying, and we heard it at the time. He's playing semantic games with you. He's arguing with you about the definition of gain of function. He's weaseling out whether or not this satisfies, quite honestly, just his definition of gain of function. I'm sure there's going to be some semantic games about whether or not he knew EcoHealth Alliance had broken their grant with the NIH. I'm sure there are outs, but there needs to be some accountability for twofold, I think, and you laid out one of them, right? One is this gain of function research goes on, and the other is Dr. Fauci's word is gospel. People don't question his word on a host of things. So I have to ask you one last time, is there anything you can do to force accountability?
Well, we've referred him already to the Department of Justice, but this is a very partisan Department of Justice. That's really, they have a big problem. You've heard of domestic terrorism with moms at the school board meetings. So I think they're going to be spending time going after moms and parents complaining about what they're teaching at school. But I don't know if they have time to go after Dr. Fauci for lying. And no, he should be. He should be held accountable, because what we have developed is a system of health care in our country where doctors are afraid to speak out because they'll cut off their research funding, where doctors who have talked about innovative treatment to try to help people survive COVID are being lectured and told, we'll take your license. This is the kind of thing, this top-down centralization of medical authority, that's not good for the country. It's also not good for innovation, because in a crisis like this, a doctor will stumble upon something that really works, and we may well learn from that, but not if the doctor is told you'll be fired if you do anything outside the algorithm.
Senator, if he won't be investigated and he won't be fired, should Dr. Anthony Fauci resign?
Without question, and the biggest lie is for lack of judgment. He continues to think that we should fund research in China. As we speak, EcoHealth is still getting money for research in Wuhan. There's a project from 2020 to 2025 that, to my knowledge, Anthony Fauci is still in favor of funding. He says that's where the bat viruses are. We got to go there, without any kind of understanding or comprehension that perhaps the Chinese communist military or government isn't the same as dealing with a democratic government elsewhere in the world. He hasn't really realized that that might be a problem, and they actually might have not just unintentional problems, but actually might have intend to create things that would be very damaging to the world.
Right. All right. Senator Rand Paul, hopefully there is some place we can find accountability for these lies. Thanks for jumping on with us tonight and letting us know what you make of this new report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Paul.
So when Fauci's confronted with truth and not in a lie, what's he do? Deny, deny, deny. And that's right out of the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Lucifer And then we've got Hillary Clinton lauding Saul Alinsky. These people serve the father of lies, folks. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. And yeah, I'm going to read it right now. No, I don't have it. I don't have a copy in front of me. It's John 8:44. Read it on your own. I don't have a copy in front of me right now, and I don't have that one committed to memory. So Fauci denies, denies, denies. And this is a weapon of mass destruction. Remember what the MIT expert, one of the developers of the CRISPR technology, warned concerning this gain-of-function research. And then you've got this dead silence. We heard Senator Smith there when it was her time on the floor. What did she do? She coddled the fraud Fauci. This isn't about partisan politics, folks. This is serious. This is a war. You know, they built lethal jabs using our tax dollars. Our government is funding death and foisting it upon the American public. They release it, and people are dying. This is unconventional warfare, folks. No shots are fired, yet millions upon millions will be dead, either by the engineered virus or the deadly jab, which is actually a bioweapon planned to depopulate the planet. Come on, folks. Look, the Georgia Guidestones, Deagle 2025. We've covered this stuff ad nauseum on this show. I don't know how much more information people need to realize this is war. Now, before I go on, I pray, and I'm going to pray right now, that these criminals who are lying to the American public, these criminals who are working to undermine our way of life, I pray that they're hunted down and the entire gang, these mass murderers, find no means of escape. And I pray that they all face swift and just judgment. You know, they think they're going to sit in their elite positions in the fraud banking system, in the media, in their posh government jobs, and enslave whoever and whomever they want. But no. You know, they have their gated communities and their bunkers. But you know what? Those gated communities and those bunkers can be cut off, deprived of food, even oxygen if they're underground. And their lives can be snuffed out just like any others. How's that saying go? An eye for an eye? Now, folks, I'm a Christian, but we are told to occupy till he returns. We are told, okay, to take a sword with us. And we are called worse than an infidel if we don't provide and care for our families. So the rule should be, as you look at these people and as righteousness prevails, the standard that we should maintain as we're determining whether these people are guilty or not is, while in your position in that state, local, or federal government job, or in that big commercial authority that you were overseeing, can you prove that you took any effort or made any effort to avert this democide, this genocide, this mass depopulation effort? If no, you're a mass murderer by default. Just like you can be, you don't have to pull the trigger to be guilty of murder. You could put somebody up to it. You could pay them to do it. You can engage their services as a hitman. And guess what? You can be found guilty too. So if you took no action in your legal position as a government authority, as a CEO, if you took no action to stop this, then ipso facto, by default, you're guilty of the genocide. And guess what? It should be a swift execution. CEO and President of the Bank of America and all your officers, you're cutting off all of these purveyors of truth out there, the alt media. You're taking down their PayPal accounts. You're closing their bank accounts. Guilty. Have you run a global ad campaign to question these things? You have the resources to do that. You didn't. Guilty. Airline management, are you forcing your staff to get the jab? Guilty. You could have stopped these mask and vax mandates, but you didn't. Guilty. Folks, just apply some critical thinking here. Okay? Think about these things. you know, you have to put a face diaper on to get on an airplane, yet people take them off when they eat their snacks and drink their beverage. If you're a leader of a group at Google, Facebook, or any of these big news agencies, and you haven't blown the whistle like a lot of these newscasters are doing, 20 years in prison, minimum. You a government mandator of these vaxes and face masks, denier of the proven COVID therapies and like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, hung by the neck or guillotined, period. That's how harsh and swift this has to be, folks. And I'm just saying, hey, there's another book out. And there was a great interview on Natural News by Mike Adams of Dr. Peter Breggin. Now, he's the psychiatrist, the driving force behind the end to lobotomies. And he was very big on this back in the 70s and 80s. And he basically turned the entire healthcare area of mental health around. Lobotomies. Thank you, Dr. Breggin. So this man is esteemed. This man is well-respected in his field, and he just published this book. It's titled COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. I may cover it on the show. It's excellent. He goes through and proves beyond a shadow of a doubt with over 1,000 references, and I'm looking at them now, in a very comprehensive index in the back, a table of contents in the front that's very good. There are 1,082, go to the last page, 1,107 references in here to document what he says. Very well written, very well organized. Maybe we'll review it on a future show, but I encourage you to get it. COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. Dr. Peter Breggin, and it was also co-authored by his wife, Ginger. God bless them, folks. So I have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta, and this is where we do all of our prep talk, but I don't see Henrietta. Henrietta, there she is. You're wet. Not Henrietta. No. No shaking in here. Stay on your paper. So I bring her in just for this segment as a little merge, moral encouragement here. But what I'd like to talk about today is gun safety. Yes, folks, and if you haven't taken a gun safety course, I encourage you to do it, or at least somebody that has, and review this. Now, everybody should know these four universal rules of gun safety, but there's also about 12 or 13 others that I'd like to cover today. So the first, and this is always the case, any firearm that you pick up, long arm, pistol, whatever, treat it as if it's loaded. And never, and I stress that again, never point that gun at anything or anyone you are not intending to destroy. Can't say it any clearer than that, folks. And thirdly, this drives me crazy, when I see people take in photos with their finger on the trigger, never, never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to fire. Keep your finger off that trigger until you have your target sighted and you are ready to and have made the decision to shoot. Then and only then does that finger go on the trigger. And then fourthly, make sure you know what's behind your target. Be aware of the environment. So these things should always be followed. Always. Now, there are some others that you should also follow, and this is just good common sense. Don't pick up a firearm if you're angry or depressed. That's common sense, isn't it? And clear a firearm every time you pick it up. So when you pick one up, you assume it's loaded. And as soon as you pick it up, you give immediate attention to it with regard to identifying whether it's loaded or empty. Now, for a semi-automatic, you release the magazine, you inspect the chamber, and you assure yourself that it's empty before you proceed. And you should always do this before you leave the range or you put your firearm away for the day after firing. Now, I don't go to a range. We have ranges out here, and I shoot here. And do not depend on your safety. Safeties fail. Now, that's good, and you should use it, but a malfunction can occur. And always be sure that your barrel's clear of obstructions. You know, I mean, this may sound crazy, but let's just suppose you keep a varmint gun down in the shed. Okay, and you use it to shoot groundhogs. Take it out of the shed. Look down that barrel. Make sure it's clear. You know what a mud wasp is or a mud bee? What would the consequences be if that barrel was packed with the mud from one of those bees? That could be catastrophic. So quickly field strip your firearm before you use it. Check it out. And if it's one of those things that you have under your bed or in your dresser and it's there for an emergency, on a routine basis, do what I'm saying. And if you're out there target shooting, always wear eye and ear protection. You could have some shrapnel come off. You could have a cartridge eject and tear apart a little bit. You can get that in your eye. And also, folks, protect your ears. And then know your firearm. I have a Colt 1911A, 45 caliber. Take that apart, put it back together in the dark. Same thing with my AK-47. Same thing with my 30-06. Same thing with my 22. You should know these firearms. Store them safely, folks. And don't store them loaded. It takes a second to chamber a round. And if your firearm fails to fire, so you pull the trigger and nothing happens, the first thing you ought to do is wait 30 seconds. That'll keep you safe. Just point the barrel down to the ground and count to 30. That's referred to as a hang fire or a delayed discharge. So if you had a delayed discharge, it's going to go off within 30 seconds. And after 30 seconds, remove and dispose of that cartridge safely. And do not pull that trigger again before you remove that cartridge. And then number 13, make a habit of safely removing your holstered pistol. A lot of people want to act like they're John Wayne and they're going to do all these crazy draws. Don't play around like that. Most accidental discharges occur when people are doing their draws. Be very careful. And then make sure you use the correct type of ammo in your gun. And if you have a lot of different firearms and a lot of different magazines, you can buy these little bands that look like the ones that people do for fundraisers. And they actually identify your caliber. That might be a good idea. And never handle a firearm when you're under the influence of cannabis or alcohol. And like I said, I'm going to stress this one again, store them safely. And practice all these safety measures that I just went over every time you pick that firearm up. And if you do that, you're never going to have an accidental discharge. You won't. And you're never going to shoot anybody like somebody did this week. But right now, folks, it's time for the Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
So I forgot to play last, and you've probably heard this Let's Go Brandon rap song that's out there. Well, it's gone viral, and I'm having a hard time with these clips this week. I don't know if I reached some kind of limit on my storage or what, but this clip was out by a rapper. I didn't write his name down on my show notes. Anyways, the minute and 40 seconds, it's good. Listen.
But we all know what the saying means.
Let's go, Brandon.
You know what they saying, ho.
Let's go, Brandon.
Hey,
if you don't know what Let's Go Brandon means, you must be living under a rock. But, you know, it all started with F Joe Biden, and it's morphed into Let's Go Brandon. And that all happened when that ESPN reporter was at the NASCAR race, and Brandon, I just forgot his last name, the driver who won. The folks in the stands were chanting F Joe Biden, and the newscaster, the reporter, was kind of uncomfortable. So she said, listen, Brandon, they're chanting Let's Go Brandon, and it went viral. Well, now it appears that the powers that be want to put a stop to this. Can you believe? Yes, Alvin, really. They want to put a stop to it. Can you believe this? Virginia Tech is restricting these selfish and inappropriate and embarrassing student behaviors at football games after the F. Joe Biden chants break out all across the country. And then Fox News reported on this, along with the major formal release, the dean of Virginia Tech. But it appears that this is going viral, and they have to stop it. And then the Canadian bans employees from saying, Let's Go Brandon. Did you hear about that? Folks, there's power in we the people. We have to stand up and do these things. We have to. And then did you hear about the crowd that went wild over California? So there was a cruiser, one of our men in blue. He was on his patrol, and there were some protesters out there. I don't know what they were protesting. But as he drives his cruiser by, and they're all encouraging him, you know, boys in blue, that sort of stuff. Listen to this, 8 seconds.
Let's go, boys! Boys in blue!
Let's go, Brandon!
So there you have one of our law enforcement officers encouraging the crowds. Folks, we're not alone, and that's the point I'm trying to make. And there was a rally in East Germany. East Germany, folks. Listen to this.
Let's go, Brandon!
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 East Germany.
So from NASCAR to rallies in East Germany and everything in between, plus in addition to this international flair, it's even been recorded in the congressional records now. This is epic, folks, but Republican lawmaker closes his House floor speech with Let's Go Brandon. I don't have time to play this clip, but the Republican lawmaker on Thursday ended his speech debating this whole $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill with Let's Go Brandon. This was Representative William Posey from Florida, who's been serving the Florida's 8th district since 2009. Let's go, Brandon. Now, I put these Brandon stories under the Hopium Report for a purpose. You know, folks, just saying F Joe Biden or seeing the hashtag Let's Go Brandon go viral or the new rap song getting deleted on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, doing all of this isn't going to change anything. Folks, you and me, we need to take action. So the question is, how do you do that? Well, there's several ways you can. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you to do it. Then in a future episode, provided the Lord's willing, I'm going to go through this. So listeners, why don't you send ideas into me in terms of how we the people can take peaceful yet decisive action in noncompliance and resistance and just say no. Now, I don't want violence. I don't want what we saw the Antifa and Black Lives Matter crowds doing. No, that's not right. And they're waiting for that. They're itching for that because they want to bring in martial law. No, that's not the way you do it. You make their lives very uncomfortable. You go to those school board meetings. You go to those peace protests. Now, if it's a false flag like they had in Washington a few weeks ago, stay away from it. But if it's in a legitimate protest, be there. Wake your neighbors up. Share this podcast. Do whatever. And we're going to get into more detail later. But right now, folks, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So you've probably heard by now, but the ultra-liberal, Trump-hating Alec Baldwin accidentally shoots and kills a crew member on his movie set. Now, he's filming the movie Rust. I think it was down in New Mexico or somewhere in the Southwest in a desert-type setting. Well, on Thursday, Alec Baldwin accidentally shoots and kills a crew member on a movie set while filming the Western Rust. It was Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yeah, I have it in my show notes here. Now, according to this report from the Deadline, Baldwin, and this is where it's so crazy, and this is where critical thinking has to apply. And we should be doing this in everything in our lives now. Listen to this from the Deadline. Baldwin discharged a prop gun that killed one member and injured another. So the Santa Fe, New Mexico Sheriff's Department has confirmed that Alec Baldwin discharged the prop gun that killed one Rust crew member and injured director Joel Souza. So the director of photography, Helena Hutchins, she died not long after being transported to the hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So here's a couple things. Gun, right. Accidentally, right. Folks, we just covered gun safety under Hoop Talk with Henrietta. There are no accidental discharges, folks. And a prop gun is just that. It's a prop gun. It's not a real gun. So let's call an ace an ace. Alec Baldwin picked up a real live firearm. It was a firearm, not a prop gun. So this, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. So this prop gun accidentally loaded itself. Then this prop gun accidentally fired itself after accidentally aiming itself at people. This prop gun accidentally fired itself. Not once, but twice. Now, they say it was one, but I'm not so sure about that. Just thinking here, just speculating, but could it have been one of Alex's fits of rage, and he's known for those? So the question is, was the discharge of this firearm deliberate or not? I'd say it's manslaughter at the least, but we're going to see how this all unfolds. It's funny how I can have many guns here, folks, and I do. I have quite a few here, and I've had them for years, and I've used them all, and my guns haven't killed a single person. I haven't killed a single person with those guns. I haven't had a single accident with those guns, yet Alec Baldwin, an anti-gun leftard, finds a way to kill someone because he doesn't respect the tool, the instrument, the firearm. And I'm telling you, quite frankly, he has no business even picking one up, let alone pointing at someone. So like I said, apply critical thinking to this and other things. I suspect he had a hissy fit. He grabbed that gun, and in one of his usual Alec Baldwin moments, he pointed at the director and fired. That's what I think happened. And he probably thought it had a blank in it, and it was a prop gun, and it was just going to make a big boom, and it was going to scare everybody, and he was going to make his point. That's what I suspect. But I don't know. I wasn't there. But remember, these victims were crew. They weren't actors. They weren't part of the cast, so there was no reason to point this gun at anybody. I suspect he pulled the trigger just thinking that bang was going to happen and he was going to scare them. Like I said, voluntary manslaughter, in my humble opinion. That's at the least, maybe more. But we have to continue to apply critical thinking. You know, these same sheep who believe that someone other than OJ killed his wife, you remember that big thing years ago? Or those who believe that two planes brought down three modern screws on September 11th, 2001. Or those people that believe, truly believe that Jeffrey Epstein hung himself. Or the ones who believe the 2020 election was fair and square. Or believe there was no second shooter in Dallas
on that grassy knoll back when our president JFK was assassinated. These are the same people who believe that these little paper masks with these huge, huge interstices within the fibers of the mask. And let's this perspective, okay? Those interstices would look like a chain link fence to a mosquito if the chain link fence is the face mask and the mosquito is the virus particle. That's the difference in size between these things. They're the same people who believe those masks are actually going to do something. And they're the same ones who think there's no risk to taking this mRNA jab with this dangerous spike proteins. They believe whatever media is going to tell them concerning Alec Baldwin. But honestly, folks, it's not. We should be looking at information right now. But right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So what I'd like to do this week in Ken's Corner is just share something that happened with me last week. Carrie and I were up at the lake, at the cottage we rent, and we weren't able to go last year because of a problem with the water they had up there. They went off well water and onto city water, and the engineers screwed up that water line, so the cottage was closed. But anyways, we were up there, and I'm no sooner up there than I get a call Monday morning. We were starting up a new furnace at the plant, and they didn't follow the procedures, and there was a lot of problems. They overheated the crown, and then they pre-fired the electrodes, and they destroyed the electrodes. And I'm in this process all day while I'm supposed to be on a getaway with Terry at the lake, and I'm getting more and more upset. At one point, I almost said to Terry, you know what, you stay here. I'm going to drive down to the plant. I could be there in 2 hours. I'm going to deal with this. But I didn't. And by Monday evening, right around sunset, and Terry and I had just come up from the lake, I realized that we probably lost this furnace. We're going to have to tear it down and build a new one. And we had orders and, you know, the whole story. So it's just about sunset. I just told Terry I'm going to go down the lake. And I'm going down the lake, and I could see it from the cottage, but I wasn't really paying attention. And I was just talking to God, and I said, you know, Lord, I need a sign. I'm really at my wit's end. What should I do? And I walk down, and I kind of look off to the left, to the west there, and, you know, I'm on the southern shore of Lake Erie, and I see the sunset. And I've been going to Lake Erie for 30-plus years. In fact, we used to go there when I was a child, and I see the most incredible sunset. It looks like a cross. And you know how on Resurrection Sunday you always have the cloth on the cross? He is risen. He is risen indeed. You know, I'm telling you, folks, God sees our cries. I saw the cross in the sunset, and there was actually a reflection down onto the water. The water on Lake Erie that day was so still, and I've never seen it. You could literally see yourself in the water. It was crystal clear. And there was, in the sunset, a perfect cross. If you'd like to see it, I can send you an image. Just email me at kbbeer1961@gmail.com. I was going to put it on the, you know, the show page, but I just forgot to do it. So here's God saying to me, Ken, I've got this. I'm in control. And I said to God in such arrogance, and I repent of this, I'm going to like to see how you do this, Lord. The furnace is ruined. How are you going to recover this? Now, we were struggling. We had some bad marbles, and our forming efficiencies were down, so our productivity was down. We weren't making the amount of glass we needed to meet the order, so it was a critical situation. So right before I left, I brought in some marbles from another supplier, and I'm going to try them and see how they ran. And a lot of people were blaming the furnace and some of the other process technology involved, but I don't want to get into all those details. Folks, put the new marbles on, and it takes some time for them to transition through the furnace. And by the time I got back, the positions were running at about 1.5 times the productivity. That's how God did it.
He is in control. He used the new marbles to increase our productivity to such an extent that we didn't even need that position to meet the orders right now. In fact, it created a bottleneck in the next department where we have to get more people into now, because now we're flooding the plant on our existing furnaces with more glass than the rest of the team can process. That's how God speaks, folks, in still small voices. So I was asking him for help, and before I could even fathom how he's going to do it, he already set all these things in motions, and he did. So what I'm telling you, folks, is before you do any task, large or small, ask him to help you. And what I've been doing, folks, and I need to remind myself of this, before you start, whether it's baking a cake or cleaning out the gutters or any big job for that matter, overhauling an engine, or maybe you're going to sew a wedding dress for your daughter, whatever it is, big or small, just say a little prayer. Say, Lord, be with me while I do this. Please be with me. Guide my hands. Give me direction. Help me to do this right. Whatever it is, big or small. Because stop and think for a minute, folks. What's small to God? What's that mean? What's big to God? What's that mean? He's the infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful God. How can you distinguish large and small from the Creator? You can't. So my encouragement to you is just ask him to be there with you. But right now, folks, it's time for Back to the Future. And in this segment, take something old and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back today to June 8, 1949, when the publisher, Secker and Warburg, published George Orwell's classic, 1984. Now, folks, most of you have probably read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to go and reread it and read his other classic work, Animal Farm. Now, the one I'd like to talk to you about today is his dystopian novel, 1984. It was his ninth and final work, and I want to focus on one particular quote from it. But before I do, I'll just give you a little bit of history of what this book's about. Well, it covers totalitarianism and tyranny, mass surveillance, repressive regimentation of people and their behaviors within society. Sound familiar? Can anyone say face mask mandate, social distancing, lockdown? So Orwell, he was this democratic socialist, and he was actually modeling this dystopian state after the Stalinistic Russian communistic government that was established. So he thought democratic socialism good, communism bad. But what did Stalin say? Socialism is indispensable to communism. There's no difference, folks. And the point I'm trying to make here is that any form of government, even what we have here as we're seeing right now, which is a representative constitutional republic, if you do not stay and stand on that rock of truth, any of these can turn into these dystopian totalitarian regimes. So what I'd like to talk about is one quote that he had in the book. And this was where Winston, who was the main character, and he was the editor in the records department of the governmental office of the Ministry of Truth. You like how they use these words? Where he was tasked with reversing historical records to make the past confirm whatever INSOC wants it to be. So one day he wakes up and here's what he thinks, and this is a quote. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. The immutability of the past is the central tenet of INSOC. Past events, it is argued, have no objective existence, but survive only in written records and in human memories. The past is whatever the records and the memories agree upon. And since the party is in full control of all records and in all equally full control of the minds of the members, it follows that the past is whatever the party chooses to make it. Isn't that what's happening today, folks? Isn't it? So how does this apply to the present? Well, we the media just published this, and they were covering this. And you may have heard about this. It's this new movement out right now by the establishment. It's called the Trusted News Initiative. And the BBC, Reuters, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the Washington Post, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Twitter, and Microsoft all announced that they would form a monopoly to control the conversation around COVID-19 and the mRNA vaccine. So let's look at a list that was put together by We the Media of the seven things that they have controlled since they put this initiative in place. One, the source of the SARS-CoV-2. We know it came from a lab now. Number two, denial of safe and effective early treatments. Isn't that been underway? Number three, silencing the voices of dissenting scientists and doctors. Number four, they're controlling the VAERS vaccine side effects and deaths. They're suppressing this information. Number five, they're quenching the entire narrative on natural immunity being stronger than vaccinated immunity. In fact, didn't we just hear in a clip earlier that the vaxxed are actually losing all immunity? Number six, have you heard of pathogenic priming, an ADE, acquired, I thought it's AED, but anyways, that's the acquired immune deficiency, AIE, I think. But anyways, and then finally, number seven, and this one's so important, and nobody's talking about it, this comorbidity. And the fact that a lot of people are dying with COVID and not from COVID. So you go in there and you have cancer and you're literally scheduled for, your hospice, because nobody will do any kind of natural treatments to fight cancer. So if you haven't eliminated it by being burned, poisoned, and cut, and you've resigned yourself to die and you're headed off to hospice and they swab you before you go into hospice to die, and you have COVID, and you die from cancer, they say you died from COVID. So these are the seven things that the Trusted News Initiative has suppressed, while Nobel Prize-winning scientists and professors from places like Harvard and Stanford and Oxford are being demonized. 50,000 scientists and medical professionals are being ignored. You know, this isn't anything new, though, folks. This has happened times and time again in the past. It's a process of gradualism that was taught by the Fabian Society. It's the death of a thousand slices. You know, prior to this unconstitutional passage of the Federal Reserve Act back in 1913, schools taught that our children should understand banking, and they should understand that private central banks are wrong, and our government has established that. In fact, up until this point, two private national banks were stopped. And then along comes the Federal Reserve, a private national bank. Afterwards, you don't see any of this being taught anymore in the curriculum. Then let's wind the clock ahead a little bit. In the post-World War II era, okay, it's no longer taught that the media is the fourth estate and should never be held in the hands of a few, because after World War II, you saw this consolidation of the media begin. You know, there used to be countless newspapers and broadcasters across the land, radio, television, print, magazines, newspapers. And then after World War II, there was this consolidation. I think we're down to five major corporations that control 95% of all information now. Well, prior to World War II, children were taught about the fourth estate and the power of the media and this great privilege that the media holds in our society to be purveyors of truth and challengers of the establishment. Well, that's all gone now. Now, back in November 2010, Phyllis Schlafly, and God rest her soul, she's home with the Lord now, but she published an article on her website, eagleforum.org, and it's still out there. You can see it. What's happened to public school curriculum? Well, what I just told you. These government schools control the narrative, and Lenin said, give me your five-year-olds in one generation, I'll have your nation. So whether Orwell knew it or not, and I don't know if he did, he was prophetic there. You know, he was a member of MI6, and he was basically put life into those books, Animal Farm and the last one, 1984, warning the people. Folks, it's no secret that the people who control public schools are at war with our nation's history, our culture, our achievements. But we, the people, the taxpayers, we foot the bill.
And it's time for us to go to those school board meetings, to go to our state boards of education and correct the many lies, myths, and all of this agenda that's in the curriculum that's being taught to our students right now. I mean, from Common Core to now with this critical race theory, it's crazy. There was this Pulitzer Prize-winning historian. His name was David McCullough, and he believes that the ignorance of American history among U.S. high school students and teachers in general is actually a threat to our national security. He told the Senate Committee on Education, and I'm going to quote him right now, we are raising a generation of people who are historically illiterate. Now, remember Thomas Jefferson, whose statue was just removed from the City Hall in New York? Thomas Jefferson said that if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, expects what never was and never will be. Folks, let those words sink into your soul, okay? I'm telling you, we are at a war. This is a war, folks. So we are at war. And our enemy is none other than the Luciferians. So what I'd like to do, now is just pick up where we left off last week as we unmask those four lies that Satan shares or voice upon the people concerning God. Remember, we pulled away this veil of darkness and deceit. And all of these people out there that are lying to us, Jesus said in John 8:44, I didn't say it, he did. They are of their father, the devil. These liars, Fauci, these talking heads, these government officials, these CEOs that are lying to us, these people pushing these vaccine mandates, they are children of the devil. I didn't say it. Jesus did. And how can I conclude that? Because they're lying to us. So last week, we unmasked how Satan does this through his minion. And remember, he has us think negatively about God. He has us think skeptically about God. And remember, I talked about professors in all of these theological schools, people like Bart Ehrman, who create skepticism in the faith, undermining the gospel and the reliability of the scriptures and putting doubt and unbelief into you. And then they use these six tools, relativism, subjectivism, empiricism, existentialism, rationalism, and pragmatism, all as a direct assault on the truth. So they think skeptically about God, and then they entice us to think lightly about God. In verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall surely not die. And he was referring to eating of that fruit, the forbidden fruit. So what he's saying to Eve is, you don't have to fear judgment. Don't fear God. But the Bible teaches us, not in one place, not in two places, but many, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So Satan's behind the idea that we can sin without a consequence. And remember that scheme that St. Jude warned us about in verse 4, that certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation. These were ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, the point is that a law without a penalty is only advice. And if you have law without penalty, you have lawlessness, and that's what we're living in now. And then finally, Satan wants us to think about God in a suspicious nature. He does. Remember he said to Eve, basically, you shall surely not die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he planted suspicion in the mind of Eve concerning God. God wants nothing but good for you and me, folks. When God says don't do this or don't do that, what he's saying to you is, hey, don't get hurt. Stay away from this or stay away from that. It will hurt you. And when he says thou shall, what God's saying is, I want you to do this so you're blessed. And folks, when you ask me how I'm doing, if you give me a call, the reason I say I'm blessed is because I'm just trying to trust and obey. And I'm telling you, there's really, truly no other way than to trust and obey. And when you do that, supernatural things happen. So that's what we covered last week. Okay? Number one, Satan wants us to think negatively about God, and so do his minion. Number two, skeptically. Number three, lightly. And finally, suspiciously. So
So we looked at these truths concerning the chief of all liars, Satan himself, also known as Lucifer. And remember, St. Paul said he comes as the angel of light, as do his ministers. So when you hear these talking heads lie to you, recognize who their father is. And what I'd like to do is change gears and pick up on what follows. So once you know this, and once you know the rules of engagement, so to speak, we can become overcomers. And that's a word used in the Bible in many places. And that's what I'd like to pick up on and wrap this up with today. So when the devil gets you into what I refer to as stinking thinking, thinking the wrong thing, well, when he gets you stinking thinking, he can get you doing wrong, and that's the bottom line, because the thought is the father of the deed. So Jesus said that Satan's a liar, and he's a murderer, and he wants to bring death to you and me, folks. So let's take a look into the last book of the Bible. And did you know that the two most hated books by the devil are the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation? And he hates those two the most because he's not found in the first two and the last two chapters of the Bible. And remember, Satan is the great ape of God. He wants to copy God. He wants to be worshipped as God, yet he's not even mentioned in chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, and Revelation, 21 and 22, or 22 and 23? No, the last two of Revelation, that's my point. So Satan hates these books. And that's because in Genesis, God prophesizes his doom, and in Revelation, it's fulfilled. So we met him in Genesis 3 as the serpent, and that's what I talked about last week, also known as the Nakash, the shiny one. And then again, as the serpent in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out upon the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So those are the fallen angels, folks. And this happened a long time ago. And Jesus said, "I saw Lucifer fall from heaven, Satan fall from heaven as a lightning bolt." So we see the key to victory over this liar, the chief of liars, in Revelation 12, verse 11, where it says, "And they overcame him," how? "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." So they were overcomers. And remember how I opened this whole show? I read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." Those are his lying minion, folks, everybody we've just been talking about. Why? "Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And remember, the prince of this world is none other than Satan himself. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, I read, "Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Not only is Jesus the Son of God, he is God the Son. And never forget that, folks. So we can become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and if we love not our lives, even unto death. And it's all right there in Revelation 12, verse 11. So we can overcome all of this garbage that I've just been talking about, which is real, and we have to deal with, but we can become overcomers in three ways. And that's what I want to cover. Remember what happened at Calvary, folks. That was the conquest. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the victory's been won. You know, when he was crucified, buried, and rose on the third day, victory was had. So we're not fighting for a victory, folks. We're fighting from a position of victory. The crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ faced the standoff of all standoffs in all eternity. That happened at the cross. And you and me as believers, we were at the foot of that cross when Jesus was crucified. Supernaturally, in some way, we were there. I don't know how it happens, but it transcends time and space. You and me as believers were all around the foot of the cross, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Now the prince of the world is cast out. He is. He's a usurper. But even snake, when its head cut off, can still bite. Did you know that? So you can still be bitten
by the enemy. You have to be aware of that. But at Calvary, his head was cut off. The serpent's head was cut off. His back was broken. And Satan hates Calvary. So put your sins under the blood of Jesus. And Satan is powerless against you then. He fears the blood of Jesus, folks. And we are saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. None. So just remember that, folks. Come to him and say, oh, Father, in my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Just hang on to Jesus like that branch hangs on to the vine, folks. Satan says, oh, no, I'm not going to let you do that, but all you got to do is hold on. You know, we had some bad storms blow through the area. There was actually a tornado touchdown up in Butler, up the road from me here. But when you watch the trees in those storms, when you watch the grapes in those storms, they hang on to the vine. Now, some of them get blown off, but after that storm, most of the branches are still there. And that's how we overcome the enemy, by hanging on to Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. And then there's the testimony, the word of our testimony, folks. And that's what I shared with you in Ken's Corner, you know, when I was all frustrated. That's my testimony. The Lord heard my cry. He gave me that sunset, and he showed me in control. And then he confirms it. So we have our testimony. What you want to do is share that testimony with others. We overcome him, Satan, by the word of our testimony. So when something good happens, when you know that God's active in your life, share it with others. And then when you're challenged, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, tell the enemy who you are, who you belong to. You're a child of the Most High God. Tell him that. Say it. Say, Satan, you're a liar. My Savior said that you're a liar, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to plead with you. I'm not going to debate you or wrestle with you. I'm going to give you the word of God and the word of my testimony. And I'm going to tell you this, Satan, I'm saved. My sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm inhabited by the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. My body is a temple of the living God. And the Holy Ghost lives in me. And you, Satan, are trespassing. Get out. This is my Father's property. And in the name of Jesus, be gone. Now, that's not praying to the devil. It isn't. And some people say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, I'm not praying to the devil. I'm not. If you have a pesky cat and you tell that cat to get out or, you know, shoo, are you praying to the cat? No. So you're resisting the devil and he'll flee. And how does he flee? By the cross at Calvary, by the courageous confession you make, and finally, by your absolute and total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, by your complete surrender. So that's what I mean by saving faith. That's when you put your hands up in the air and just speak out the acronym, forsaking all, F-A-I, trust him, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. And of course, the him is Jesus. So like that branch hangs onto that vine, just cling onto him and say, I trust you, Jesus. And that's total and complete surrender. And what's that mean? Well, it means you'll never surrender to the devil if you've already surrendered to Jesus. So when you get into these situations where you're going to have to stand up and say no to all of this craziness going on in the world, you don't have to surrender because you've already surrendered. The truth is that when and only when we are willing to die for the saving faith of Jesus Christ, are we truly ready to live? Let me repeat that. When and only when we're willing to die for the saving faith of Jesus, are we truly ready to live for him? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, I'm telling you, then and only then, after you can make that a confession in your life, are you ready to truly live for Jesus? You know, long ago, Roman soldiers sailed to England, and their plan was to invade the island off the coast. Now, the villagers, they saw the Romans coming, and they organized for a battle. And when that ship anchored offshore, the Roman soldiers burned it. Now, the villagers saw this, and they were terrified. They laid down their weapons and they surrendered. And why? Well, they realized these Roman soldiers didn't come to retreat. They came to either conquer or die. And these Roman soldiers, they were able to do it because they were surrendered to their cause. And their cause was conquest for the nation, conquest for Rome. Now, if you're a child of the living God, you have kingdom authority. In your cause is high and mighty, better than any conquest for any empire. So if the Roman soldiers' burning of a ship and their surrender to the cause of conquest had that power over the people of England, how much more so do you think our surrender to Jesus Christ and our declaration of trust and surrender to him is going to have in this war? So our mindset must truly be one of surrender to Jesus Christ. Have you ever stopped drinking or smoking or whatever your addiction might be, but you keep a bottle under the sink or a pack of cigs in the drawer? Have you ever done that? If you're doing that, you haven't surrendered. You haven't burned the ship, so to speak. So if that's you, destroy it. If you're addicted to porn, destroy it. Whatever it is, destroy it. Completely and ultimately and totally surrender to Jesus. And if you do, you're going to have victory. You have to have that mindset, conquer or die. Surrender to Jesus. What you need to say is, I will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and love not my life even unto death. And folks, when you do that, I'm going to tell you, you will have a supernatural power and authority that goes beyond anything that this earth can throw at you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Folks, all of those things are yours, elements of this kingdom authority. You're given the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the sanctification and redemption of his amazing grace. You share, literally share in the mind of Christ, folks. So if you want this, just say, as you pray, and a prayer isn't some fancy thing. You don't have to have, the voice of Shakespeare to pray to God. Just say, I'm getting out of this boat with my feet, and I'm going to step on that water, Lord, and I'm going to take every ounce and nerve and fiber of my being, and by your grace, God, I'm going to live for you. And when I do this, I'm going to expect you to pour your incredible power into my life, your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and his redemption. And when you do, folks, there's no stopping you, none. And I'm telling you, folks, when you do that, then you can do what Winston Churchill asked us all to do in the face of this adversity, and that is never give in. Never, never, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Folks, I love you all, and I want you to remember this one thing as you go out this week and never give in. That same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that's the Holy Spirit. That same power lives in you and me, folks, and that same power will make you an overcomer. I love y'all, folks, and provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.